We have a guy on the line that's been doing this for a long time, preparing for opening night in an 82-game grind. He's one of our favorites. He's back on overdrive. The head coach of the Winnipeg Jets here is Paul Maurice. How you doing, Paul?
Great, fellas. How are you today?
We're doing well. We're looking forward to the start of the new season, and this one obviously is a little bit different. You're getting back to a conventional season, 82 games, standard divisional play, 41 on the road, down in the States. How are you preparing for an 82-game schedule, maybe compared to the way camp went last year? Is it the same type of structure, or are things a little bit different this year?
Well, we did our camp completely different than anyone that I've ever run, for a bunch of different reasons. None of them had to do with kind of the 82 or the 56. It may be because we had a little bit longer camp, but we wanted to try to respect where our athletes were at. I think the mentality in the past, and don't get me wrong, camp was hard, but I mean, remembers a few, you know, those 5-week training camps where you were just brutalizing them, right? You were working them so hard. Yeah, you know, and one, to get them into shape, and two, to set a mindset, set a tone. Just felt that our group coming back and historically have come to camp in really good shape, and then the testing says they are, and these guys now are athletes that we could work on stuff, and we could treat them like men. And a big part of that is I got an older team, right? For the first time, you know, we brought in a couple veteran defensemen, so now we're matched. Our back end's got some experience, our forwards have got some experience on them. So we did that part completely different, but what really is, I think, is exhibition games have people in the stands, and that's just made everything right. It's for 2 years, fellas, with nobody in the building, it was just the weirdest, most disappointing, unfun thing I think I've been through in my, like, it just was no fun, no energy. And the guys tried, and you know what, kudos to all the players for playing as hard as they did. But people in the stands drive the game, drive the business. It makes it fun, brings it, exhibition game. You know, we had almost a full building last night. It felt like hockey's supposed to. So training camp's been great on that alone. We've had a good camp, and we're looking forward to the year starting for sure.
Well, I think we can all understand and reason with the players and the difference in terms of intensity on the ice with a packed building and no one in the building. But what about from a coaching perspective? When you look back on it now, do you feel like you coach differently without people in the stands?
Well, in some ways, it's no different, right? The players kind of get that physical rush, right? When you know, you're playing Tuesday in the, you know, game 53 in the middle of a long season, and you walk into a full building, whether it's home or road, and you feed off that, you drive that. Well, the mentality of coaches, I don't think, is any different here. There's feedback and there's energy that you don't feel like you had to bring. Some nights you felt like you were cheerleading back there, and Lord knows everybody could hear you, so you were careful about what you said, and It just wasn't any fun. That's the truth of it. And now last night, even in an exhibition game, I'm excited about the game just because there's people in the building and some oohs and ahs and some energy. So if there's a silver lining in all of it, and I'll include myself in this group with the players, then maybe we get a little jaded over time and we stop the fans and the autographs and all these things become possibly a nuisance. And the opposite is true now. Everybody understands that this game is just way better with people in the building.
Mo, you touched on it, and that's kind of where I wanted to go as far as balance with the group. You had two veteran defensemen. I think that's going to help Pionk. It's going to help Morrissey and kind of just settle things down. But also the comments by Blake Wheeler early on, I kind of loved him. I think, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he was set up saying, you know, your team looks really good on paper. And he kind of just, without, you know, I think he politely kind of snapped and was like, I don't care what we look like on paper. We got to deliver. You know, is that the mindset around the group right now? Is you like the moves, but ultimately you got to go out and play?
Yeah, you know what? It's about what you're trying to accomplish, right? So when you have one part of your team is really, really young, they have a different mindset coming to the rink. They're either surviving or they're trying to put up points and they're trying to establish their careers and they're looking at their stats after, and then you get a little bit older group and that stuff just becomes less important and winning is the most important thing. And then to do that, you've got to have some sacrifice and you got to have push and you got to have some maturity. And all Blake Wheeler's telling you is that nobody cares what your stats are. We've played hard here for 2 years. You know, we had a 2-year kind of block. We were a pretty darn good team. We took a hit on our back end that kind of we lost a little traction there. But the men were good, and they played hard and did what they could do, almost maximized where they got to. Now we think we're better than that. We think we can compete with each team on every night. We're excited about that.
Mo, I love Dubois in the bubble against the Leafs in the series with Columbus. I didn't love him last year. Has he got the O-Dog speech yet, or is that around the corner, or has he had one, or how's he looking?
No. You know what? I don't think I've used that one yet.
One of the 50 different of the 50 different options?
We had a number of different. The nice part about O is that he would kind of critique what you said to him after. A lot of guys will just say, yeah, it's fine, but O would give you kind of a running critique. Well, I think that's bullshit. And tell you why, and then you'd have to go all the way back through and explain to him why, in fact, it wasn't until we agreed on the fact that it wasn't, things weren't going to get better. And he wasn't. One day he just came in, and I can't use the phrases that we each use to the series, but just came in and told me what he thought one day, and none of it was particularly kind to me or my thought process, but he just felt I needed to know that just so to clear the air. It was outstanding, right? And then didn't even give me time for a rebuttal. He just kind of came in, you know, filled the doorway, told me what he thought of me and what I did to him, and off he was. So our relationship, but it was always funny, fellas. At the end of the day, it was always funny. That is one funny man in a coach's office. Anyway, Pierre-Luc did a lot of great work this summer. He's stronger, he's faster, he's leaner, and he's just going to keep getting better. What we've forgotten, and with all of them, when you look at all of those great young players, is they don't hit their prime until they're in their prime. Like, they're not doing this at 22 and 23 years old. Their expectations are that they will. And sometimes they deal with that every night. Like, this guy wants to go out and he wants to score 50. He wants to finish his checks. He wants to be the guy who wants to play 22 minutes. And we want that for him as well. And he's working hard to get to that now. So I got no issue with him. He's in great shape. He's working his butt off in practice. So we don't need to have that conversation. Not that you weren't old. There was just some times.
Do you guys think you got to make some hay this year? We've been talking. We always talk about the quality of teams and how the window can just shrink all of a sudden. I think you upgraded your D. You've always got a chance with that goaltender. But you know how things go. It's like sooner or later you wake up and it's like it closes. So it's, the guys talked about it. I know Tampa talked a lot last year that their group's not going to be together. But time to make something happen, I would think, with these guys.
Yeah,
right?
I think we're just coming into our window, to be honest with you. So go back to like I said, you look at that 4-year block, or look at the 6-year block. 7 years ago, we lost to Anaheim 4 straight in the playoffs. We weren't good enough. We didn't have a high enough talent level. So we kind of scrapped everything, started, and you draft higher. We drafted some really good kids. We developed them. But when our back end was mature, Helly was just coming into his prime. We said these young forward group, and you just don't see that, right? You don't see a team with 4 or 5 real young guys. When you spend, Scheif's only 24 at that time, and he's kind of the old guy. I mean, we have Brian Little, but we got Ehlers and Laine and Kyle Connor and Lowry and Scheif, and Trouba's new and Morrissey's new. They were just kind of coming into it. Then we kind of went through that, right? We lost 4 defensemen. Buff was the tough one because we hadn't expected that. But you lose 4 of your top 6, you're taking a sideways ride there. So our forwards in those 2 years hit a level of maturity. And then when you look at the contracts that we're talking about on our team, we don't have 4 or 5 big-name guys coming up. Like, that back end that we've got right now, and Connor Hellebuck is going to be good for a long time. And so is that forward group. They're just, you know, we got Lowry long-term, Scheif long-term, Connors, Ehlers, Wheeler. All of these guys are going to be here, and they're factored in and they're budgeted for. I think we're just coming into our window now where the age of our forwards matches the age of our defense and the maturity of our goaltender. This is time for us to get rolling now.
Mo, you know, you talked about the depth of your group. Is a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers get enough love? Like, where is his ceiling, and where do you think he can go? Because we certainly talk about Scheifele and Wheeler and Connor, but, you know, what do you see Nikolaj Ehlers, his next level?
So he would be like the poster child for what I just said about kind of maturation. So I think he's had 5 20-goal years. We think he can score more. He's kind of driving his own power play unit now. But all the other parts of the game, where Nicky would, when he first came in, would come in and out of the game a little bit, right? He's not a big man, but wasn't involved in the game, and other than, you know, shooting the puck and skating fast at times. And now he's, you know, making the right calls on defense, and he's grinding a little bit, and he's back, and he's checking, and he's flipping pucks out, and he's kipping. So all of the pro things that these guys got to learn, and in truth, some very highly skilled players never actually adopt those, right? They don't need to. They're still going to score 20. Nicky's going to score 20 goals for fun if he stays healthy for the rest of his career. All the big benefits that we're getting from. Like, he was a driver for us last year, and kind of, he actually, a lot of times he's the kind of guy that inspires your team. He's not real big, and he gets in, and he does something hard defensively, and he grinds one out, and the guys absolutely love that. So that would be the kind of, that's where our team, I think our team turns, is on players like Nikolaj Ehlers and Kyle Connor becoming that well-rounded player because they can put the puck in the net. That's not going to change.
We have Paul Maurice, head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. This is going to be an Olympic year for the first time in quite some time, and I know you've coached in the league during Olympic years. And I'm curious your approach, because obviously you're very focused. You have tunnel vision. You want the Winnipeg Jets to be the best team in the world and chase a Stanley Cup. But you got a bunch of guys on your team that are likely going to the Olympics, and Mark Scheifele, I think Connor will be there for the Americans, Wheeler for the Americans, Hellebuck for the Americans. Do you support their pursuit of that, you know, roster spot that they're all chasing? They're trying out, really, for the first time since they were probably 4 or 5 years old, quite frankly.
Right. So absolutely. And then, so we just asked the question, what do you think the kind of hockey you need to play to get noticed and get named on that team? What's the style of game? So what's interesting there is both teams are going to put some wicked, wicked talent on the ice, high-end skill. So if your plan is that you're going to outscore Connor McDavid to get on that team or outdangle Patrick Kane to get on the team, that's just not going to happen. But what they'll be looking for then is all of those highly skilled players that are willing to accept roles and to grind and compete and be not a one-dimensional player, because they'll get to the Olympics and play against the other most skilled players in the world. So it's probably not, you know, at the end of the 4 or 5 countries that consider themselves contenders, it's never going to be a talent issue because they all have way too much of it. It's going to be a grit and a grind, and the guys that can get their elite players to battle and win one-on-one battles and compete, that will be the difference. I think that's what the coaching staffs will be looking for, so that's what we will support and encourage our players. Try out as a certain kind of player, and you'll have a much better chance.
Well, based on your history, how does this work, Paul, in terms of, you know, the GMs of these respective countries? Do they call you? Do they seek your advice on your own players? How does that work?
Not unless you have, not unless you have a strong relationship. So if you know one of the coaches on staffs, for sure, right? They'll call you, see how this guy's going. But these guys have elite staffs. They got great scouts. Because now, I mean, every game's on every different medium. You can watch every shift of every player, and you can do it really efficiently. They know what they want. There aren't a lot of secrets outside the media, kind of in that hockey world. Everybody knows about these guys, so they watch guys play. And what I have found, though, is they are receptive to not having a conditioned idea about a player. So if you've come out and you've had the year where, you know, you used to be a one-dimensional guy and now you're doing it all, they'll see it. Right, they'll see it and they'll make the adjustment and they'll put you on the team. So I don't think they're married to, I know all the names will go up, but I don't think they're married to those names. I think if a guy gets off and he has a fantastic start, it'll be seen, it'll be noticed, and you'll have a really good chance to make that team.
Well, it's going to be a fun year. We're back to 82 games. Again, the Olympics are going to be a part of the conversation, and everyone's looking for a hot start, yourself included, in Winnipeg. We wish you nothing but success as always, Paul, and we appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you for this.
Yeah, anytime, Falls. Look forward to it. See you down the road.
You got it. There he is, Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic this year where your top players, they've kind of got their eye on a different ball, you know, a little bit.
Right.
Like, of course, they're focused on their own thing and going out there and performing and winning, but there's certain guys who know where they're going. Certain guys who've already been named to the team. McDavid's been named. Sid's been named. Matthews was named to the American team.
Don't kid yourself. For those guys that are bubble, we'll call them, Stanley Cup is not the first thing on their mind right now.
Well, right, because it's further down the road.
Oh, exactly. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the crazy part. They're, you know, depending on who wins the Stanley Cup, there might be somebody who wins a gold and a Stanley Cup this year. which is very cool.
I mean, absolutely.
Think about having a season. But, you know, they're, I was thinking about it today. We've had so much focus on Team Canada, as we should. It's in our backyard. That American team's going to be a serious team.
They're right there with the Canadians.
Oh,
right there.
They are absolutely. They are as good as
legit.
Team Canada on paper. Anyways, we'll see how it unfolds.
No, but totally. And let's be honest, again, the harsh reality of what Carey Price is going through right now, we don't know what his timeline is going to be. He will
right.
make up his own mind on that timeline. But if he's not available for Canada, that really changes the complexion of their goaltending.
Sure, it's
like,
a big
significantly
blow.
Significantly changes that because you know Hellebuck's likely going for the Americans. So
right.
they're going to look pretty good. I'll tell you what, this three-pack of players that have to go up, Finland can put their hand up and say we're as good as almost anyone. Like,
yep.
they put Aho, Barkov, Rantanen out there. And I was thinking about that today, preparing for Paul Maurice, too. Could you imagine if I told you 4 years ago Patrick Laine would not be one of the first three guys named for Finland?
You would have said he will be the first guy. If
first
you said
guy.
This list could be brought out today, back then, you would have said he will be the first guy.
Laine yeah. will be the face of Finnish hockey.
Sure.
And he's not even close. And now, actually, you look back on that dominant gold medal winning team by Finland back in the day, Laine was the man. Puljujärvi was number two. Aho was just the guy up the middle of the ice. Like, he was a mm-hmm. great player, clearly.
Yeah.
But
right.
he went in the second round. He didn't get the love. And he's blown past those two guys.
Bri, what if Liney's a total disaster and everybody can't stand him and he's Patrick Reed and he's just not on the team, period?
Well, I think he's got to play himself on, I would think. I mean, Finland's not got a ton of high-end talent. They've got the
yeah.
big boys, and then it can, you know, taper
yeah.
off there a little bit.
But I don't think Finland screws around, though. For name recognition, I don't think they're just going to say, because you're Laine, you're coming. I think they'll
no.
just say you're not. I just know from my junior experiences, and I've heard Gordon, Ray, and Bobby talk about, this guy did that, so he just wasn't coming. He's just not on the team, and that's it.
Yeah, I think the only thing that could be saving grace for a guy like Laine is if he has a good season here. Like, I mean, I know it's a one thing, but he had the end-to-end play last night. Like, he's called himself out, said he was, I'm not going to say the word that basically Maurice said 10 minutes ago, but swore and said he was garbage last year.
That you know, was a dangle, man.
You know what? I know it's not a great story. It was dirty. It was gross, actually, that move, and it was really cool to finish, too, because just a little chip underneath the bar. It's good for the league if Patrick Laine has a good year. You know what I mean? Like, it's just another storyline.
Yeah.
Like he's gone to Columbus. It's been forgotten. Max Domi. There's guys who were really front and center in our news wheel because Max Domi was in Montreal. Laine was in Winnipeg. Laine Matthews, like, you know, that draft. And Laine has just fallen off the map. It's good if he gets back on the map. Like, for
absolutely.
Him personally. Like,
well, and he's a big talent. You know,
right.
he's got the ability to do things like he did last night. You know,
right.
end-to-end, dancing guys. He's when he came into the league, he was right there with Matthews in terms of that Rookie of the Year. Right there. Like,
yeah.
Matthews deserved it. Matthews closed better than Laine did. But, oh, we went down there his rookie year. We watched them. We were 10 rows up, and this dude was cruising around the ACC. And he's 6'4", 220. He's got moxie. He's got swag. He's just lost it. Like,
yeah.
his confidence isn't there. His work ethic wasn't there. Like, that's been a biggest part of his problem. I think he's been a lazy player, you know, to
right.
be blunt. He's been a lazy
yep.
player. He hasn't tried to improve. He defensively kind of mailed it in. But he's got all the talent in the world.
Dude, if he ever gets it together, and that's the problem, you hear stories and everybody knows people to talk to in the game that his whole mindset is not focused on the right things. He loves the
oh, yeah.
cash, loves the lifestyle, but he doesn't like the work. He loves everything about the game, actually, except the game
wow.
itself,
and
which is the worst thing that the old school hockey people can say about you. You love everything about the game because they all talk the same way, except the
but
game
playing.
Itself.
Yeah, but
it's
playing,
just like,
exactly.
You saw that goal. Like, imagine that guy ever turned it up and cranked it up and said, I want to be the best player out there every night. Like, that's so scary. That's sickening.
Two guys. You're right. Two guys, and they happen to be both Finnish descent, that I look from a maturation process. Laine and Puljujärvi. Puljujärvi got a little taste of it last year, and I think mm-hmm. he came back more mature. He looks stronger and more
he's
confident
not
this
out of
year.
The woods yet, though.
No, you're right. I agree 100%. But just to see what these guys are like when they're when they understand that they're pros and they have to do it every night and the details of the game. We just heard Paul Maurice talk about some of these young players, Ehlers and Kyle Connor playing away from the puck, you know, that type of stuff. Be interesting to see if they could put it together, especially a guy like Laine. Like, it's a good story if he could put it together.
Yes, it is. And that market could use it. You know, yeah, like Puljujarvi, exactly. Realistically, he's fighting for like third place on that team. It's going to be McDavid, Drysdale. That doesn't mean he can't achieve it, and it wouldn't be great for the Oilers and Finnish hockey and all that. But right. Laine can be the king in Columbus. Like, if he gets it together, he can be the man down there, and they could use that for sure.
Agreed.
They haven't really had a guy that fits that stature since Rick Nash, more or less, in terms of, like, a clear-cut man. I guess you could look at Jones and Werenski and maybe Bobrovsky when he was there and winning a Vezina.
Yeah, winning Vezina, yeah.